Hey everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, Kong rules not only Skull Island, but also the box office. Let's do it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Of
What's
course,
up?
This is the show that we like to look back at the box office that was, and then we...
I would love to have it where they could call in and, like, say it, too.
Hey, call in and just, like, leave your best prognosticate.
Yes,
and
then well, you we know, just like, Jacked is, like, all the people saying Jacked, Jack FM and everything?
Yes.
Would you guys like that? That'd be so funny. Like, leave a message and be like, prognosticate.
Oh, then we make a little compilation. There you go. All that hot prognosticating.
Yeah. Oh, we can't really have the chat up. Our TV thing wasn't working.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. I'm going to pull it up on my phone.
No worries. All right. Anyway, folks, yes, we have a show that we will prognosticate about the box office that lies ahead. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. If you're watching this live, this is what we're trying to get right now, is get the live chat up and going. And if you're watching this later, comment down below on your thoughts on the box office, because we had a lot of people last week do a good job of saying your order predictions.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. So.
And of course, we would not be complete without the third person of this mighty team. We've got Neil laying out in the booth. You're just laying out in the booth, Neil?
Oh, yeah, I'm just taking a break. I got a hammock set up here. I'm just getting ready to lounge and catch a few Z's.
Oh, perfect. Mm. The Mai Tai in hand, or maybe a pina colada?
It's a penis colossus.
Ah, perfect.
Okay, then.
Well, if we're talking colossus, that works out perfectly for the stuff that we're going to be talking about in just a moment. But before we do that, folks, of course, you can always like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yes.
And as Carrie mentioned, hop in the chat.
We got it going.
Yes. Share your thoughts about everything that's box office related, and we're just going to jump right into it. We got a top 5 this week from the box office, and of course, number one film is the subject of this week's box office bet. We bet on Kong Skull Island. I went 75. Neil went 88. Carrie Lane went 38. 38.
And I actually didn't lose.
No.
For going so low. But you know, it's funny. I had someone message me on Facebook, and apparently, though, if I had said that was the number for Logan, then I would have been spot on, pretty much.
No, well, I guess if
I know, wrong movie. That's what I meant. Yeah, no. I didn't feel horribly off on the numbers.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Well, Kong Skull Island did $61 million domestically. I think it was a little shorter than what the studio was hoping for.
Could be better overseas.
It's doing well overseas, but yeah. I think it's still, given how much they put into it, I think they were hoping for at least like 75 or so this week.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Did you see Kong?
I did not.
Well, as the loser of the bet, Neil ended up, he went a little too high. Like Icarus, he went too close to the sun, and his wings melted a little bit. But I already know that Neil saw this film. So, Neil,
yes,
what
Neil,
did you think?
Us.
It is not that good.
Aww. Can you elaborate without spoiling stuff if people still do want to risk it?
Yeah, sure thing. The direction was poor.
Mm.
It seemed like the director didn't really know what he wanted.
Mm.
Sometimes it just sort of cut to random shot, like slow-mo Michael Bay shots.
Mm.
Actually, my fiance Alexis Torres had a really good analogy. She said it seems like the director was trying to be Edgar Wright and Peter Jackson at the same time.
Mm.
And it just didn't work out.
Yeah, I saw it as well, and it was fine.
Fine.
I had really high hopes for this movie, and it's fine.
Do you think maybe that ruined it for you, that having the high hopes?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like a lot of the characters, like Tom Hiddleston, Brie Larson, I felt, and Neil, do you agree that I felt like their characters barely sketched out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't even really need them at all. They could have been one character.
Oh.
They could have just given Tom Hiddleston a camera, and then just that would have been it.
Well, since you guys saw it, all in the chat, would you agree with this comment for the gentlemen who've seen it? The human characters were useless, but the Kong parts were great.
The special effects for Kong and the fight scenes I thought were awesome. I just wish that if you're going to go to the effort to put other human characters in there, at least give them something, a little bit of a character arc.
Mm.
Neil?
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
They started actually arcing a couple characters that they just lost. Like, they started to, like, do a deep.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
An arc for somebody and then just gacked him, and I'm like, okay, well then what was the point of that?
Star Drew asked, was it better than the Jack Black King Kong?
Oof, no. Man.
It was, no, in my opinion, it wasn't better. That one at least had, like, respectable production quality. Like, okay. they built 1920s New York in New Zealand for that movie, mm-hmm. and that, it just on its own is respectful enough to bring it upon, right. bring it up top this one. And it had the T-Rex fight.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. it's a longer film for sure. Sometimes maybe people may say overly long. But at the end, I mean, you can't help but just, you know, just get emotional about the Kong and what his journey is. I mean, this, you're just like, okay, that was a movie I watched.
Adelia said in the live chat, I loved Kong and the monsters. They were enjoyable. The characters were characters. Should have had fewer characters.
I will say probably let me know if you agree. I thought, like, John C. Reilly's character had the best arc, and he's the one to watch throughout the film.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he's sort of the breakaway hit from, if you can even say that about John C. Reilly, in this movie. Mm-hmm. What was also kind of cool is that they had both, I don't remember their names off the top of my head, but the two gentlemen that played parts in Straight Outta Compton, the man who played Dr. Dre and also Eazy-E had parts in this movie, and I thought that was really cool because I liked Straight Outta Compton, and they're fine actors.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, for those of you that have not seen it, just stay through the closing credits. There is a bit at the end as well that ties it into a much bigger world. So.
Okay.
Yes.
No, I stuck at home, but I did see Dear White People. And I finished Casanova, because we brought that up last week with David Tennant. My final thoughts then on Casanova, it's a mini-series for those of you wondering, but if you get on DVD, they do it as, like, one long piece. It started off slow, and I wasn't digging it. And, like, the middle to three-quarter is the best part, and then the ending was okay. I wanted to like it more because of David Tennant. But if you're a Doctor Who fan, it's pretty much... if the Doctor loves sex. Like, that's... Mm. And was in specifically that time period, because it's the same mannerism, same... a lot of the same actors, very similar vibe, but it's a lot of the same people involved with both projects. So, it was worth watching, but I didn't love it.
Speaking of things that we watched, I watched most of Pixels.
Oh, wasn't that bad?
I don't know what I was doing. But it was on last night. For some reason, I just like, I'm just going to keep watching this. And I did. Not a great thing. But for Kong Skull Island, the promotional stuff, I felt like... Mm-hmm. I thought this film did a good job of getting you psyched up to go see the movie. I wish the movie had been as good as the promotional material made it seem like it was going to be.
Apparently, a lot of people missed the post-Kong credit thing. I tweeted about it. I didn't even see the movie and I tweeted, so that's why you need to be following us. Come on, I was trying to help you out.
That's right. Look at it. Carrie Lane doing a public service for you. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it just sets up a much larger world. And if you've been reading any of the trades, you can kind of get an idea of, like, what that ultimately is going to be. So...
Yeah, and then just real quick, because I didn't say my opinion on it, I did like Dear White People. I thought it was very interesting, and they have a lot of fun extra features if you get it on DVD.
Nice.
From my library. So, guys, your only, library.
Only
free
from Carrie's library
movies.
Will you get those extra features.
No.
If you go to a regular library, you're not going to get those.
No, but Amber Plaster and Renee Ariel, who are also hosts here, they're doing marathons of movies that they haven't seen, so they did a Star Wars marathon, because neither of them had seen a single Star Wars movie, and they... live stream it, and they're doing Resident Evil now, and I was like, dude, I got all of them if you want to borrow them, because they were like, oh good, because I didn't know where I was going to find one of them, so I'm like, I sent a photo, I'm like, no, really, I got them all.
I got them
otherwise, come on guys, the library, it's for free. But that means you maybe have to go outside for some people.
Oh my word. Side tangent there, do people, because I feel like they're doing those reaction videos, are the people still enjoying reaction videos?
Yeah. I think so. But theirs is different because they stream themselves watching the entire movie, like on Periscope. So actually, that's something interesting for question for you guys. Yeah, one reaction videos, do you guys care anymore? I agree. It's a good question of like, I'd say it depends on what it is. I have seen one video where it was a YouTube guy, and I totally forget who he is, but because it was like a random one I stumbled across. But he did like trying not to laugh at a sequence of ones. And so it was fun watching him watch a bunch of videos and like trying to see his reaction, though I was like, these aren't really that funny, but whatever. And then the other idea is, would you watch people watch a movie you like, but the other AfterBuzz host, they talk to the viewer a little bit while they're periscoping too. So they'll, which me though, as a film watching person, I'm like, no, I'm like, one, if I, there's no like distraction things allowed. There's no like on the phone really. I try not to ever. And then if like someone talks, I'll be like this, pause.
So you're done with your thought?
Till we're done talking and everything. Okay, and then we're back. And so, like, the thought of how I've watched some of it, and I'm like, oh, I couldn't do that.
Well, just for you folks wondering about reaction videos, Neil, on his YouTube page, he does reaction videos of him during our show.
Mm-hmm.
So get ready for those. He's going to have a fresh one coming up just after this one runs. So.
I think they're referring to Kong, so back to that. Curtis in the chat says, it was a great, fun movie. I'm not having confidence in your critics of movies. So apparently he's not liking your guys' bashing on Kong Skull Island.
No, you know, it's if you want to see a lot of cool fighting between giant monsters, yeah, then if that's all you want, then Kong's not going to disappoint you for that. But if you also would like to have some strong characters taking you throughout this journey, then that, I think, is, that you're going to fall short on that. And it's like, if you're going to put those characters in, at least give them an arc for us to care about. Otherwise, then drop all those characters and then just focus on big, huge monsters all the time.
Andrew in the chat says, the creature design is pretty great for Kong Skull Island, very inventive. And so that's cool. I mean, it's just one of those I haven't been able to really get out a whole lot lately, but so that's why I have a lot of videos on home. However, a one for you guys, though, that I will let you know once, because I will be seeing this and I'm trying to do my preemptive research, is for Ghost in the Shell. I have both the movies, the series, and I think I have this, there's like two versions of the series or whatever, but I have a lot of them, so I will be planning to watch all of that before seeing it. So I'll let you guys know how much it measures up. I already rewatched the first movie, so now second movie, and then the series, because the series is technically before the movies.
But of course, given you're strict, as much as you can, no phones while you watch, you will not be like live tweeting your viewing experience.
No, I don't. No.
No. Got it. All right.
I was going to say, I'm like, do I actually? No, I have not really done live tweeting. Maybe, if I hear a ding on my phone, I'm watching something, it's all pause, hold on, read it, okay, and go back. But then I'm okay with pausing movies a whole lot if I'm at home. But a movie theater, absolutely not. That's definitely like,
You won't ask them to, like, you won't stand up and say, could you pause?
Can
this
we pause
for a second?
It for a second? No.
I just get a really...
Then I want subtitles, because I'm like, I didn't understand what they said. Can they say it again, please? Much like everything in subtitles, it's sad. Because I'm like, they talk too fast or something, and I just want to know exactly everything that's said, because it's like somebody wrote it, somebody acted it, somebody directed it, somebody edited it. So almost effort went to it. I want to know exactly everything that's happening.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like...
I know it's very thorough and all.
Yeah, I feel like subtitles, and I'm like, I'm just reading this. I'm like, I don't want to read this movie. I want to just watch it.
It depends. Some I'll turn them off, because if they're just too distracting, but some it's nice to just like, you're like, reading up and down and checking of, because you're like, wait, what was that? Or you go back. Anyway.
Coming in at number two for our top five at the box office, we have Logan, another $37.8 million.
I did see Logan.
Oh, fine. Nice. What'd you think?
I was going to say, I don't want to say any of my opinion on it, though, for people who haven't seen it yet, because it's one of those things of like, in talking about your opinion of a movie, it will taint someone else's viewing of it. Like, I had that for me. For example, this is not... And I'm like, wait, saying this example doesn't say the same thing? I'm like, no. But for this particular movie, like, I saw Up, and before I saw it, people were like, this is a sad movie. It's so sad. And I was like, oh my goodness, and Up, the old man's going to die the whole movie. And then the whole movie, I was waiting for it to happen. And they're like, oh no, it's just the beginning. Like, him and his wife is so sad. I'm like, well... I watched it the whole time, so nobody was saying everybody's loving Logan, and I did like it. Don't get me wrong, I did, but there's just other stuff that I'm like, whew, I wanted more, though, for the mutant kids. I did want more powers shown.
Okay.
There's a chase sequence, and I wanted more. But I did like what ones you did see, mm-hmm. which was very cool. Kid is amazing. And seeing them as, like, real people is awesome. And Patrick Stewart and Hugh are amazing together, and it's adorable. And just, like, their interactions is so, like, fun. And now thinking of their interactions, like, after watching, it's just like, oh, they're so cute and funny together. Because in the movie, it was fun to see them be, like, more crass and whatever with each other, like swearing at each other or whatever. And I guess it's extremely rated R, so I don't know any parents who would be like, yes, let's take our kids. When I went to the movie theater, they actually had a sign up that was like, parents, it's very rated R, like, warning, because they're just like, oh, superheroes. But it's a nice change for other superhero movies of, like, grungy and real and real consequences, and not just like, we are perfect and we're going to save the day.
I thought it was a nice, much like Captain America Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm.
and this taking the superheroes and grafting them onto other genres, whether mm-hmm. it be like a Cold War espionage thriller or like a spaghetti western type structure.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that may be the future for more films, and that is just to kind of overlay them onto something else too.
Yes, I think it's a good direction of where they're going, and it's a nice change of pace from what we've already seen. Referring to the chat, Serenity says, you can do this, watch a movie with subtitles and rewatch it, like watch it with or without, and then a way to learn languages. And I'm like, well, kind of, because if you're watching something in another language, you can learn words that way, but you won't learn, like, sentence structure, because sometimes, you know, we translate it for ours. Whatever language you're watching in, but it's not the same thing. Or they change the people, because speaking of that, I watched a Bollywood movie the other day called Three Idiots, and that's excellent and super fun if you guys get a chance to watch it. But that one, there's parts where sometimes they'll change cultural references. They'll be like, they'll describe an actor, but I'm like, that's not what they said, or something like that. And because there's another movie, someone's like, blah, blah, and Brad Pitt, and you're like, they didn't say Brad Pitt in the movie, but that's our frame of reference or something. So anyway.
How do you know people in Bollywood don't adore Brad Pitt?
Well, because the actual word that's said in the movie is not that word, but the subtitle is what I'm saying. Like, I'll hear a word, I'm like, that's not what they said.
That could be their nickname for Brad Pitt.
No.
Okay. Coming to number three of the top five, Get Out from Universal, another $21 million.
I do want to see that one, but still haven't gotten out to see it.
All right. You haven't gotten out.
Yeah.
Coming to number four, man, The Shack, holding on better than I thought it was going to do. Another $10 million. And finally, rounding out the top five, the Lego Batman movie. Another $7.8 million.
I'm not surprised, but somewhat, that The Shack is doing so well. Of like, well, then, good for it. I know someone who saw it, and they really liked it, and they really liked the book. So if you like the book, they enjoyed the movie. I don't know. I haven't asked anybody who's seen the just the film and not the book.
Although if you take a look at the rest of the top five, it definitely leans towards other direction than The Shack. It's a nice counter programming to it.
Sure, yeah, because that's the other thing too, of like just getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. But in previews for Beauty and the Beast and some of the controversy around that, of the fact that they pointed out a character is going to be gay and people are boycotting it, and you're just like sitting there going, wait, what? What? And then I think about it, I'm like, I'm pretty sure when I saw the cartoon as a kid, I thought he was gay anyways, but it wasn't a thing that I cared about. I'm just like,
yeah,
well, he really likes the other guy a lot, like really admires him, but whatever, and maybe likes him more, but it doesn't matter. It's like totally a side plot. But it's just interesting, people boycotting. I'm like, well, then some people are just not going to see a movie that doesn't fit with what they want, which is fine. That's why there's so many movies out there.
But it's just like, don't
boycott it. Don't be all like angry.
Well, yeah, but like, at least see it and then know if it's something that you want to boycott. Don't boycott something you've not seen.
Semi still a tangent, but guys, this was a thing going around on Facebook. A family that's boycotting going to Disneyland because that Beauty and the Beast new development. And then I'm like, how does that have anything to do together? And Disneyland is really not going to care.
It's just like, you know, see it. If you don't want your kids to see it, then see it yourselves.
Yeah,
see,
go check it. Screen it.
Yes, yeah. and then make your decision based on that. Mm-hmm. Don't just hear from somebody else that there's this, and then just all of a sudden rush to judgment or assumptions and all this.
Yeah.
All right, so speaking of Beauty and the Beast, we'll get to that a little bit further in a moment.
Alvin said, LOL at people boycotting movies. Go ahead, these movies are going to make enough money without you. This is true. It's like, I'm pretty sure they'll do fine.
I don't know. I feel like they're going to, you know, they might not make that, you know, $1 billion. They'll just kind of like hit, you know, about like $40 short. Like, oh, if only we hadn't lost that family of four. Damn it. What have we done? Talking international numbers. Kongsil Island stomped into offshore play this weekend, planting an $81.6 million footprint at the international box office. It was on 20,400 screens in 65 markets and ranked number one in most majors, including the UK, Korea, Russia, France, and Germany. The total global total is $142.6 million. Now, it also faced off again with Wolverine in many markets, and Logan, in fact, landed another $70.3 million for an overseas total of $285.6 million, $436.6 million worldwide. The second week has a 56% drop from opening, but it's been Fox's and Marvel's most well-reviewed R-rated pick, tracking nicely versus other X-Men titles, which, I don't know. I don't think that's that hard, given some of these last few X-Men films.
Sure.
Now, while Warner Brothers is happy with the star for King Kong Kong overseas, as word of mouth works in favor of this positively reviewed adventure, at least one rival distributor calls it a very good launch, considering Logan's sharp claws. However, some saw it opening higher, and that the $185 million production budget and estimated $136 million for publicity and advertising cast a long shadow on it. So, the marketing campaign was extensive for that, so you got to recoup that investment. So,
yes,
it'll be interesting to see how long it lasts at the box office. I mean, when you got Beauty and the Beast and Power Rangers, and I guess Ghost in the Shell. I don't know. I feel like Ghost in the Shell, of those three, is probably the one that's going to pop the least, I think.
Well, Beauty and the Beast, you get the family market, and you have the nostalgia working for you. So those are huge draws. Power Rangers, same thing. Family, nostalgia, going to totally get, because you're going to either get the people that are family, so you can take the group, or you're going to have the people that watch those and have like an attachment. So they're going to go. Ghost in the Shell, it does have a huge following. It's a very popular manga and anime, but it is not necessarily for everyone because it is more on violent and it's very, I don't see everyone like flocking to it, though it is Scarlett Johansson, which is probably one of the big reasons that they're like, hey, let's use her. So we'll see.
Hmm. Is Scarlett Johansson enough to draw you into a movie, especially a movie of like that, like a big action-adventure movie? I'm thinking like Lucy. I mean, she did that, although I did go see that in the movie theater as well. But was it so much her? I think it was more like
it's the director, Luc Besson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was more him than it was her.
But that's if you actually know that's a French director and who he is. So
yeah.
I think she's probably one of the few female action characters that is doing a whole bunch of movies like that, that people are going to be like, oh yeah, we'll go see her in that kind of a thing. Cause it's like, yes, there's some, like I watched, we'll talk, well, trailers, Lionel in the chat said Lucy did well. I did like it, but I didn't love it. Did you watch the trailer for Rough?
Yes.
What did you think?
I mean, when you keep...
Is it just Rough, or was it Rough Weekend?
I think it's just Rough.
Some of that.
I think. Fine? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, if you like John Wick in that style, then I think you're definitely going to like this. It's one of the first...
No. Okay, we're talking about a different one. There's a new Scarlett Johansson movie called, like, Rough Weekend or something like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking the Charlize Theron one.
Yeah, no.
Sorry,
no.
My bad. That one, no.
Okay. Neil, have you seen this trailer? It's like Rough Weekend?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Watch it, and we can chat for next week. But that one is having a promotional Twitter ad thing all the time, so I finally was like, fine, I'll watch your trailer. Because it's on Facebook and Twitter. I think it's mainly on Twitter, but I just keep seeing it on my feed. I'm like, fine, I'll watch it. No, I'm sorry, guys. Nothing in that movie. It's just, it's been done before. It's also like, here, let's do the girl version of it. It's girls going on bachelorette trip. And something goes wrong, and then, like, just stupid behavior afterwards. So I'm just sitting there like...
Play for laughs, I assume?
Yeah, it's all supposed to be funny, and there's a lot of comedic actresses in it, I just was like.
Well, because there's also that one that's with Queen Latifah and Jada Pinkett Smith and a couple others that also has that same kind of thing where it's like they're going out doing, I think, a bachelorette party.
It's a drama then?
No, it's a...
It's a comedy. Well, yeah. Then here's the white version of it. It's her and her white friends.
She wears a sash, yeah. I saw.
The trailer looks rough. Yeah, because it's something like rough. I think it's just rough, but... Oh, and then there's another one. Baby Heist?
Oh, the Edgar Wright film.
Yes.
Baby Driver.
Thank you. That looks cool. But see, then you go, there's my taste in movies. I saw, like, it's like stupid female comedy thing. I'm like, see, it doesn't win me over just because they're girls. I'm like, but it looks dumb. It's just not my kind of humor. Because I don't like that we're just going to do stupid stuff and that be funny or put people in awkward situations and then that's automatically funny. I don't like it. But Baby Driver, I'm like, yes. Like, that looks fun and exciting. So I'm excited for that one. Did you guys watch that trailer?
I've not yet. I saw that it had been dropped, and I gotta watch it yet.
Did you like it?
Oh yeah, I'm very excited for that. I've been everyone in the booth here is sick of me talking about it.
And Neil, perhaps I can't remember the name of the
show.
Oh,
The Rough Night. Thank you. So it's called The Rough Night, I guess, for the bachelorette party.
Isn't the Charlize Theron one? Is that called Rough? No. What's it?
Atomic Blonde.
Oh, that's another new one.
I was so close.
I haven't watched that trailer yet, though.
Yes, Atomic Blonde. It's from one of the directors of the first John Wick film. Split up.
Oh, yes, I thought I saw that they said that. And then the other trailer, which if you guys go see Logan, the trailer for Deadpool 2 is on there. However, there's another one on the internet that has extra stuff in it that I was surprised in the theater. I'm like, wait, you're cutting out some stuff that was really good. Why are we not? Okay, fine.
Yeah, and there's actually two different songs that play, both for the online version and the theatrical version.
Oh, I don't even think I noticed the song was different.
Yeah, when he's at the beginning, when he's in the
headphones. Yeah, at the beginning. Okay, no, yeah. The biggest difference I notice is Stan Lee makes a cameo on the internet one, but he doesn't make it in the theatrical theater one. And then the ending with the older man, like how he talks with him is different too.
Ah.
So,
but, you mean your close personal friend, Stan Lee?
Yeah.
If you saw that photo.
You saw my photos on Twitter and Instagram. Yes, there's a documentary, if you guys get to see it, With Great Power. It's about a documentary on Stan Lee, and I had worked at Comic-Con as a volunteer, and then I worked, it was like staff volunteer with talent, and then I got to work with the Stan Lee documentary crew multiple years as they filmed the documentary, so every time they went back, I got to go with them and be like a pretty much like a PA on it and stuff. And
awesome.
1 year help with the screening, so it was really cool.
Oh, look at that.
You know, went to the club with Stan Lee. It's all good.
You went to the club.
I have a photo of us in a club together.
getting bottle service?
No.
Was Stan Lee? Stan
no,
the man? Excelsior.
No.
Wrapping up our international news, Lionsgate La La Land broke the 30 million milestone in the UK this weekend to become bigger than three of the Twilight movies and two of the Hunger Games films. And also Resident Evil, the final chapter, crossed $300 million worldwide. And Disney's Moana opened in Japan, getting ready to sail across the $600 million global total. Look at that. So now, of course, coming up next week, we've got two films coming out. One a huge release, one a little bit smaller. We've got Beauty and the Beast coming out from Disney, opening up in 4,000 plus theaters. And then we've got the Belko experiment from Blumhouse, and that's 1,200 screens. The Belko experiment, have you seen the trailer for that?
I'm like, oh, I should have looked ahead of time, but nope.
Oh, man. It's got John C. McGinley in there from Scrubs. He's in it. A few other people. It's this company that all of a sudden it becomes like an experiment that people do for everybody that works at this company. They shutter everybody in.
Okay.
And they say, all right, if you kill three people, then you can leave. And if you don't kill three people in this certain amount of time, then we'll kill like 20 people. And so they just keep raising the stakes of how many people do you have to kill, or we will retaliate and kill this many more people.
So it's sort of battle royale.
Sort of. You're seeing what people are doing.
But that one is you die, but...
Yeah. You put everybody in a high-pressure situation where it's kill or be killed, and you see what happens.
So will there be a twist at the end of, like, what was the point and everything?
I don't know.
I think that could be interesting.
But of course, before we get into that, so everybody, if you want to start chiming away there for your bet, if you'd like us to do Beauty and the Beast or the Belko Experiment for the box office bet, start chiming away in the chat room for that. Mm-hmm. Alvin, since you're in there this evening, I'm looking to you if you can to keep a track on those numbers. But before we get into our top five and the box office bet, we always like to do a little box office rewind on somebody that's going to be starring in one of the upcoming films. And I decided to go with Kevin Kline. Let's go a little deep cut with him. So many of the other people that are in Beauty and the Beast, like if you went with Emma Watson, there's going to be no doubt what her top five films are going to be. So I was going to try to find something that has a little variety in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming at number five for Kevin Kline, we've got In-N-Out, back from Paramount Pictures in 97, $15 million. That wasn't a bad movie.
I didn't see that.
That's
one
where he's the teacher. But
wasn't the one where it's like getting married, but then like not? No, okay, no, I haven't seen it. I know the cover. The cover is him like, yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the one when he's with Meg Ryan and it's wine stuff in France?
Oof. Oh, I can't remember that.
Oh, okay. I remember. No, it's cute. It's
all right.
Cute.
Coming in number four, Last Vegas. From CBS back in 2013 with $16.3 million. He and what, Michael Douglas and a couple other people. It's like old guys go to Vegas and have one last hurrah kind of deal. Number three, No Strings Attached. Ashton Kutcher, Natalie Portman for that one, right?
Paramount. I did see that.
Yeah, 2011, $19.6 million.
Yeah.
The Pink Panther came in at number two for him from Sony back in 2006. $20.2 million.
And not listed because it's a voice, but Hunchback of Notre Dame.
That's right.
That's one of my favorite Disney ones. That's like a
really?
operatic one that most people are like, yeah, that one.
Interesting.
No, I loved it. Oh my gosh. I had a shirt from it, and then they had a live action Hunchback of Notre Dame show at Disneyland, guys. Oh my gosh. It was amazing. Absolutely loved it. And they had like a barbecue area, which is now where they're building the Star Wars land. But... Oh, yeah. No, I was super into it. And it's very different musically for people because it's, like I said, very operatic in terms of overly dramatic kind of songs compared to, like, light and more fun that most other Disney movies have. Not that all Disney movies have all light, fun songs, but, like, some of their songs are just heavy and darker.
We've got, the Bells of Notre Dame. The Bells
of... And then you also have just, like... creepier real worldy way of like the Frollo who is essentially wants to like take and rape Esmeralda of like, well, if I can't have her, I'm gonna like take her by force and like I'm gonna kill her. And that song he has, the like Hellfire song, and you're just like, what is going on? So that one's really dark and scary, but
I guess, you know, it'd be worth it hasn't been released on DVD or at least like on iTunes or anything for a while. So.
Phoebus? Yeah, I have a Phoebus and Esmeralda Barbie doll still.
Love it.
They
love
sit it on my shelf. Next to my Spider-Man 29.9 doll, too.
Oh, all right. Nice choice. All right.
So I have a random assortment, people.
That's very cool. I always like that Spider-Man 29.9 costume. Gosh. Yes. Mm-hmm. With the cool little, like almost like a web shawl around him.
Glide.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Number one for Kevin Kline. Man, if you just think of things like Silverado or... you're like, oh, okay, where did that go? But again, as Carrie likes to remind you, it's not the best films of Kevin Kline's career. It's one that just did best at the box office.
I was going to say, but I really like that one, though.
Silverado?
No.
Or no, the first one?
Yep.
Wild West?
Love it. It's so fun.
$27.6 million.
It's kind of like steampunk before they really had steampunk as a mass pop culture thing. And... I saw that with my brother in Colorado, and I totally remember seeing it at that theater, the Tinseltown Theater, and thought it was so cool and just a fun, wild ride.
It's a shame because
I don't know the show, though, so there is that of, like, I didn't have any preconceived notions of what it's supposed to be like whatsoever.
No, I thought I would always watch the show on repeats and stuff, mm-hmm. and I thought the show was fun and the great opening sequence for that, and the concept of the show is really cool. I just... Man, it just did not click for this film. Mm. It was just kind of a misfire on this. I liked Kevin Kline in there.
Yeah.
I liked him better than Will Smith in the film.
Well, they're fun together, though, too.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I own it on DVD.
I think, actually, I was cleaning out my office, and I saw that I still have a Happy Meal toy of Kevin Kline's character from Wild Wild West.
Nice.
Where he's on his unicycle. So I still have that for some reason. I got that. So
I have Will Smith's sunglasses from a Burger King Happy Meal from when the movie was in was doing its advertising before it came out.
Nice.
I think I still have it like in my parents' basement or something like that.
Oh, please have that scent and just wear those still now.
I forget what all I have, but I have a collection of figures and McDonald's things, like, in a box. Like, McDonald's and other figures. Like, I have Biker Mice from Mars, a little action figure. And kudos if you guys remember that show. It even has little antennas come out, and you can touch them and make them go back in and stuff. And
wow.
I have all kinds of random ones I kept. And I'm like, no, now I'm glad I have it, because it's like, everybody's like, what the heck are you talking about?
Yeah, please tell me you just take them out of the box and at least line them up. And you have like a shelf or
well,
something.
I had a shelf in my room growing up. I had a shelf built in. I was like, I have figures. I need to put them somewhere. And yeah. So we painted and built shelves over New Year's watching Twilight Zone marathon. So I would go out, paint, go watch Twilight Zone, went back. And the very specific memories of that. And now they're in a box because I need to get a display case. I want like the glass one so I can like put them all out and everything.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be very cool.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, nice. Hugh said, I used to have the Taco Bell Star Trek cups. I still have the Star Wars from a cereal box lightsaber spoon.
What? That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Is the handle a lightsaber?
The handle is a lightsaber, and then the spoon is like
the color of the the color of the whatever the blade. The...
I think it's clear, and the idea is you touch the button, it lights up. I don't think it still lights up, but I still have that.
Have you used it?
I don't think I've used it. I made sure. I'm like, no, I still got that. We're gonna put it aside. Yeah.
I would use it every day for breakfast. I would be like, yep, I'm having cereal all the time now. why not? If I can even the lightsaber spoon. So again, of course, we've got the box office bet coming up. We've got the two films, Beauty and the Beast and the Belko Experiment.
Sorry, totally random. This is why we love you guys in the chat. Thank you so much. Tanya says Kevin and Meg Ryan, it was French Kiss. Thank you. It's cute. It's one of those like it was just a cute rom com. Like I don't remember being amazing, but I don't remember being. It was just like cute.
But think of like A Fish Called Wanda.
I feel that when I wasn't quite old enough when I saw it, so I didn't quite get it. See, there's certain movies that if you see at certain times in your life, too, it associates. See, that's my other problem with Logan, of just other stuff in life that I'm just like... Patrick Stewart also kind of like makes me think of like my dad and like watching old people. I'm just like, makes me nervous.
Yeah.
He's there's
also a psychic, right?
No. But there's an adorable video of Patrick Stewart online with like Pitbull that he's rescuing now?
Yeah, he's fostering Pitbull.
Oh, my gosh, it's so cute in the pool. If you guys have seen it, it's super cute.
He's been doing a series of them.
Yeah.
And it's great. If you ever want to just see Patrick Stewart and a Pitbull, it is charming. Very charming.
So, anyway.
Start chiming in there. Before we do the box office bet, we're going to do our top five. And Neil, Carrie, and myself will let you know what we think our top five box office will look like next week. So, of course, we've got Beauty and the Beast, The Belko Experiment. Will any of those, or both of those, knock off Kong, Skull Island, Logan, Get Out, The Shack, and the Lego Batman movie?
Ah, Stardew, I still have the Raisin Bran 3D Batman and Robin item. Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other... I don't think I have cup things as much anymore. I used to have... Do you guys remember Burger King doing the Disney plastic cups with, like, the movie image on those? My parents had those forever, but eventually, like, the image just started... fading away, but I had those forever.
Because I know that Burger King used to have very nice big glasses for like Star Trek or Star Wars, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice and
sweet. The voting's still going on. So I was going to say, though, guys, not preemptively, it looks like it's going towards Beauty and the Beast, and I wore my Beauty and the Beast t-shirt today.
Oh, for you guys. Shameless plug.
You know?
All right. I always ask everybody else to go first. I will go first this week.
All right. I know you like shove it on everybody else.
Yes. I'm going to say, of course, I think, you know, Beauty and the Beast, it's probably not even going to make the top five, guys. Let's be honest.
No, never.
we'll go Beauty and the Beast number one. I'm going to go, I think it's Kong Skull Island, Logan, Get Out. I'm going to say The Shack. And just because I think it's going to be a fun movie to watch, I think, but the Belko Experiment, it's in so few theaters. I think it'll, if it comes in, it'll come in at number five. Yeah. All right. So I'm pretty much just knocking everything down, putting Beauty and the Beast number one and the Belko Experiment at number five.
And then did you bump out The Shack?
No, The Shack will stay where it is.
Oh, yeah. So wait, Beauty and the Beast, Kong.
Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. Then I am.
I was going to say, I'm like, whoa.
Up, then I guess the Belko experiment is not even going to make it then. Oh, man.
So just keep everything but bump them down with Beauty and the Beast number one.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I think, let's see. 28, if it's going to drop. Yeah, I don't think the Shaq is. Yeah, I don't think the Belko experiment will make the top five. I don't think so. Not with only 1,200 screens.
Neil, do you have your thoughts ready?
Yeah, I think pretty much the same. Beauty, Kong, Logan, Get Out, and then I think I'll put Belko at five.
All right.
You know what? I'm going to have to agree with you just to keep things different. So Beauty, Kong, Logan, Get Out, and Belko.
Okay.
Just because the Shaq and Lego have already been out enough for a while, so then... Even though it's not in that many screens, people are going to be like, oh, something new. And it's listed as horror, so that definitely draws people.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, and I kind of see Belko making around 9 to 10 million this weekend, which I don't think the Shaq can make in that weekend at the same time.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Hugh, he agrees with you, Frank. He says not enough screens. Stardrew says Beauty and the Beast, Kong, Logan, Belko, then Lego. Wow, Belko at number four. All right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it feels like, are you saying the betting is leaning towards Beauty and the Beast?
Absolutely.
Look at that. All right. So real quick, just a quick discussion about Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
I am not jazzed about this film because I just feel like the animated movie is so great. Do I need to see this retold in live action? Is this going to give me anything that I'm missing from the first film?
Did you see the Cinderella live action?
I did not.
Now, see, I would counter your argument with only I'm curious if they'll do it like they did Cinderella or how Cinderella was done. Because at first I, too, was like, why would I watch live action Cinderella? I've seen Cinderella already. It's very like, okay, we get the story. But the way they did that movie is they told a little bit differently. They gave her backstory more so. They told you more about her parents, which I was like, oh, cool. We didn't know anything about that. They actually even almost did an angle where you almost felt bad for the stepmother. Like, gave her a reason instead of, like, why she was being the way she was. So I really appreciated that. And it was more about the process of her and the prince actually falling in love, not necessarily like, oh, I've just met you, let's get married. And so there were little things, or even just they point out that the slippers magically adjusted to not fit people kind of idea. Like, they don't show it happen, but they kind of, like, the narrator is like, yeah. And I'm like, that totally makes sense, because why, eventually you would think it would fit somebody. So I liked how they did that, so I'm really curious if Beauty and the Beast, this version of it, will have some newer, like, explore some things that maybe we hadn't thought about from the first movie to add to it. Instead of just being a carbon copy, but with live people.
Right. Neil, are you jazzed for this? Will you be out camping out starting tonight to make sure you're first in line?
Camping out, no. but I am excited to see the movie. I think it'll be good. Mm-hmm. I think it'll do pretty well.
Yeah.
It looks like a powerhouse.
Will you be singing along in the theater?
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Absolutely. I'd be wasting my money if I didn't do that.
Aw. Serenity said, didn't like Cinderella at all. Glad I saw it at home so I can fast forward through most of it. Come on, you missed some good stuff. Maleficent was great. Only the one so far live action fairy tales. Like, I did like Maleficent as well. That was another one where take something we already know and change it. But that's not really a story we already know. It's more like take a character we know and give it... flush out that character because we don't know anything. So, Adelia, am I the only one who doesn't hold the animated Beauty and the Beast in high regard? It's a great movie, but I'll have more emotional resistance when I see the remakes of The Lion King or Aladdin. And she says it's a great movie, just fourth on my list, as in fourth Disney. Yes, them doing the live action Aladdin. I was like, oh, okay. Sure. I mean, that one also is like a little... There's certain Disney movies you go, okay, you could literally see how they could do that because there's not too much fantastical stuff that you need too many practical effects. Aladdin, you're like, okay. But I'm like, I'm always skeptical anytime you want to like remake something. I'm like, you know?
Yeah, it's... I feel like Kevin Kline as Maurice, like he's... Well, maybe he's got more to do in the film, but I feel like boy, he's got, I mean, I guess it's Kevin Klein, so you're going to give him his own character poster, but I feel like he's such a small little part of the, at least the animated film.
Yeah, he's a very small character. I'm looking forward to it. I'm curious. It was one of my favorite Disney princess movies growing up. Fun question for you guys. A friend of mine posted this on Facebook. I'm like, it is a fun, like, wait, hold on. Wait, okay. So leave comment down below because it'll probably take too long for you guys to think of it in live chat. Name Disney movies where both parents survive and are alive all the way to the end. There's not a lot because it was a fun discussion. Any Disney movie where both parents, two parents, are alive the entire movie. Leave comments down below. You know, right? Yeah. And then actually online too, I retweeted it. Screen Junkies did a thing of Disney Princess Showdown. One of the other hosts here, Leo, he does the Disney Movie News. He did a thing where it was a matchup of the top 12 or 13 Disney princesses, and they kind of ranked them. Per whatever the evidence they said and their arguments and what the criteria was to judge the princess, I kind of agreed with their list. So,
interesting.
You guys should go watch that. I tweeted it or go follow Leo online.
Oh, sounds good.
So some people are talking in the chat. They said, Oliver and Company. Yeah, Moana, technically both her parents are alive the whole movie, too. But let you guys think about it. Leave comments down below. So it's going to be one of those you're going to have to think about it for a while. I'm going to keep going, oh, yeah. And I'm not going to tell you because that's going to cheat a little bit. Anyway.
All right, so we've got our box office bet. And, of course, folks, as always, we'd like to bet on the film that you in the chat room decide when we have more than just one new film coming out in a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So you've chosen Beauty and the Beast. And we'll do our best to prognosticate and figure out what the box office total for opening weekend will be. The one that's closest to it will get to brag about their awesome prognostication skills. The one that's farthest away will have to go see the film and tell us all about it.
How much it made, the original anime movie in 1991, I'm like, that seems so small compared to what things are now.
No, and it's going to be very
I think it was bigger then, though.
Actually, I just did a quick adjustment for inflation on that number. Because, listed here on Frank's rundown, it said that in 1991, Beauty and the Beast made $9.2 million opening weekend. Turns out that has the same buying power as $16.4 million today.
Okay, for an anime movie, $16 million, that's not horrible.
Yeah. I guess.
Star Drew says $155. Oh, come on.
Jeez Louise.
I'm probably going to aim high, but that's a bit much.
All right, let's not read any numbers. We don't want to sway our choices yet.
People are asking in the chat, Brave does count, because Disney, Pixar.
Okay.
It's all right, you can do both.
All right.
In our question there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Neil, Carrie, and myself will place our bets for what we think.
Ooh, Lionel says 165. You guys are aiming so. I'm like, maybe I won't. Sky Patterson says 155. Okay, so let's think about this, guys. This is March too, so not as big as summer, but still.
And was what Logan had the record for the biggest March opening?
And sorry, rated R.
Yes.
I want to clarify, so sorry about that, because you guys R-rated. Corrected me on the chat, which thank you so much. It was a radio program I heard very quickly, and I didn't check it. But 85 was the largest R, so that's a little bit of a scale, so it's not going to be necessarily but I don't know, 100 might not be so horrible.
Yeah, I mean, so far, the early things I've heard is that it's fine.
Jungle Book made 133, but when did Jungle Book, what time of year did it come out?
That makes a difference. March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a year ago.
All right. Media Shock says 143. Sky Patterson changed his mind, 135.
Well, I mean, I think if you look at Jungle Book, and you compare it to Beauty and the Beast, I think Beauty and the Beast probably has...
bigger audience.
Yeah, than Jungle Book.
Oh, yeah. Serenity says, experts say 160, and that's what I'm sticking with.
All right, enough of their thoughts. Let's pick ours.
But your guys' thought helped inform me, because I'm like,
don't. You got to be your own person, Carrie Lane, in this moment.
Oh, wait, I got to. I'm just going to tell you because.
Oh.
No, well, you show me and I'll say it, because I'm like, I have our notes here and the chat going, so.
All right.
Adelia said Jungle Book opened to 103 in April, so.
All right.
Okay.
Neil, are you good to go, sir?
I am good to go.
I don't know why I picked this number. This is so stupid. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I will, since Carrie's in the room with me right here, I will go. I'm going 135.
Jinxies. No, for reals. I said 135. I'm not lying.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I did. I was like, 135.
Nice.
We
okay.
tied. All right, guys.
All right. Neil,
no, for
how about
reals.
Yourself?
No lying.
Oh. 136.
No, are you serious?
Oh! Hugh tells me that I should go take it to the bank with 160.
Oh, take it to the bank. Man, I'll be curious. This will be a fun one to watch.
Yeah,
to see how well it does.
People are pointing out that pre-sales have already been great. So true. I mean, it opens next week, so if they already know pre-sales are good now, it's a good point.
Yeah, it's a tale as old as time. Everybody, we all know how that goes.
Oh, and remember who got 63? Oh, Star Drew said, remember who got 63 in Kong last week? All right.
No. Yeah.
All right, 135, and...
Looks like Carrie and
we'll
I could be seeing a film. Oh, no!
Yeah, because you're like, meh. So, next week, guys, will you be our guest as we talk?
Yes!
Talk about who won!
That's right. Look at that.
Come on, that one's so easy. I'm like, set that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The fun doesn't stop here because you can like us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can follow us all on social media here. You can give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Neil, if people would like to follow you and your musings, Neil, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at TheNeilPlumley. That's TheNeilPlumley.
Nice, Carrie.
Yes, you guys can continue the conversation with me and other fun stuff that I talk about on Twitter at Carrie Dillane. That's KARIDLANE, as well as Instagram, because I post more photos on there, but, you know, it's fun.
That's right. You can see some of Carrie's early sketch drawings of Spider-Girl.
Yeah. Well, I would just say it's more femme Spider-Man, because I'm like, because there are Spider-Girls that are very different, so it's more just Spider-Man if it was a woman, which I've done Superman, but, like, femme Superman, so it's essentially the Superman outfit, but if you made it for a woman.
Oh, look at
that. So gender bending it, pretty much.
Nice. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram over at Happy Go Jackie. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will see you back here next Sunday night for another hot episode of Box Office Breakdown. Don't go see Beauty and the Beast, guys. Don't go see it.
Go, do it.
Don't you do it.
Come on.
Don't. Save me.
Take
Please.
A guest.
No. Try the gray stuff. It's delicious.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.